Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello and welcome to an hour of mind power. Boy, have we got a power pack show for you today. Have you ever been scammed? Have you ever gotten emails that look legit, but maybe they're not and you wonder? And maybe you've responded to something that's been sent to you via email to find out to your horror that maybe you could become a potential victim. Well, my guest today, Eve Edelson, has a wonderful book called Scammerama, Turning the Tables on Email Scammers. That's what we're going to be doing today. Eve, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much.
I was so impressed with your book. I have to say, it was really something to be able to read through it. But you have, from what I understand, a website that is the leading scam baiting website, period. How in the world did you ever get involved in this?
Well, it's kind of you to say that. It's one of the earliest ones. There are some very good ones, some other good ones I can tell you about. The way it got started was that someone sent my father a letter by post. It was actually one of the earlier scam letters, and it was postmarked Nigeria, which was interesting because we didn't know anybody there. And it was a wonderful offer from a stranger of great wealth. And my father threw it in the trash, and I fished it out, and I thought it was fascinating and funny, and I began to collect them. And then I started a website, and then a publisher approached me about doing a book based on the website. And the site is basically a gallery of correspondence between scammers and people who write them back just to waste their time and wind them up.
Well, it is something I was talking about on my show earlier this week. And there's been quite a bit of mention of it on the news in various programs that I have been listening to over the last 2 weeks. Tremendous scams that have been coming out. I think it's not unusual in the beginning of a new year or during a holiday period for scammers to really be out there working overtime. And so often what they are really looking for is that naive individual that thinks they're doing someone a favor, or
yep,
they're rescuing someone, or they're just downright greedy. They think they're going to get something for nothing.
Yeah, it's the same basic scam wrapped up in whatever approach they're trying. And there's somebody's button can be pushed. It just depends, you know, on your psychological makeup.
So people have lost their entire savings.
Yes.
They have lost inheritances. They've lost property. I mean, it's amazing what's been done. And David Horowitz, who is one of the leading consumer advocates in the U.S., related a story, which I shared with my audience, about one of his very dear friends. He's one of the most savvy people you could ever want to know, and he almost got sucked into it. If it hadn't been Western Union, for Western Union notifying him...
That's a red flag. It's unfortunate.
Yes. We don't think this is for real. You've got a photo right at the beginning of your book that I thought was just hysterical. And that is a Nigerian in this long white outfit.
Mm-hmm.
And he's holding up a sign saying, "Beam me up, Scotty." And I just love that. I mean, I just thought that was really something. Now, I've gotten these via email from England. Nigeria seems to be the hottest spot. Is it still primarily the Nigerian environment that's contributing to this? I know when you did your book, that was the main center for a lot of this. Where do you find it coming from at this time?
Well, I sat down about 4 years ago and I looked at 1,000 of these, the complete email headers, which is something people should know about. If you ever want to make a spam complaint, you need to have the complete email header. And at the time, 70% of the emails had come from West Africa and chiefly Nigeria. I would say now there's more of it coming from overseas, but it's still Nigerian expatriates doing a lot of it. They're not the only ones. and it's not the only type of advance fee fraud. But this particular format is something you find Nigerian expatriates doing either at home or in sort of offshore. And the way it works is you have little guys sitting in cyber cafes, and they send out the initial email in bulk. And if they get an answer, then they may, if they're lucky enough to be in a gang of some sort, and gang is maybe not quite the right way to put it, but in sort of an ad hoc partnership, they may be able to round up somebody stationed overseas in the UK or the US or in Dubai or Johannesburg, Amsterdam, places like that, that are more wired. And these people overseas will try and they're sort of the closers, I guess that's what you call them in real estate.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got the little guy in West Africa, and then you've got the closer overseas.
Now, your very first sentence in your book, of the very first chapter, is, "This book is about liars telling lies with compound interest to other liars." And I thought, whoa, what a sentence to begin your book, Scamorama. You have the advanced fee fraud that you talk about, and this goes way back. You said there was a similar scam going on in post-revolutionary France. So humanity's had scammers forever, but I wasn't aware it went back that far in history.
The particular model that you get nowadays is based on, I'm convinced, on the French model, and I kind of stumbled across it when I was reading the memoirs of the guy who founded the Sûreté, which is the French equivalent to our FBI, I guess. And this guy, he had kind of a checkered past himself. He was basically an ex-con who became a police informant and who rose to great heights in the French police and founded this revolutionary new police bureau, which relied on basically spying in the underground. And he wrote his memoirs, and his memoirs gave a French version of the letter, and it's pretty much the same letter, as you know from reading the book, but I'll just excerpt it for your listeners. The letter basically said, "Dear sir or madam, I was the servant to an aristocrat, and he was guillotined during a revolution, and I know where he hid his money. And if I could only get a little money to mount an expedition, we could share the proceeds." Now, does that sound familiar?
A little.
It's great stuff. And you find it, actually, I don't know if it's in which of the Twain books it's in, whether it's, I can't remember if it's Huck Finn or Tom Sawyer, but remember where the boys run away?
Mm-hmm.
And they hook up with the slave Jim, who's like the only responsible adult in the story, and then they get mixed up with these grifters who are going around the South and telling people that they are the long-lost sons of the King of France. And it's pretty much the same scam. So I think there's something very familiar about all this, and that it plays on some universal human feelings.
Now, the scammers, you say, usually are not underdogs. Often these scammers are already quite wealthy. They're
the guys at the top, yes.
Sure. They're going to rob anybody and everybody. They have worked within government offices, and you have what's called scam baiting.
Mm-hmm.
And give the definition of scam baiting as you have
scam
in your book.
Scam baiting is the art of writing back to scammers to waste their time and, if possible, to collect trophies. And, for example, that photograph that amused you is a trophy. And the idea is you just keep writing back and basically making up some kind of backstory and stringing out the correspondence as long as possible. And you may be confronting teams of these guys, the little guy in the cyber cafe, the closer overseas, the guy who plays the part of their banker and their barrister and so on, and you can round up your own team and do the same thing. And there are a lot of people doing this now. Some of their stuff is posted on Scamorama. There's also a wonderful site called 419 Eater, and the URL is 419eater.com, based out of Britain.
Hmm.
And there weren't many sites like this when I got started. It's a little more common now, and we each have our own different styles.
Well,
as to the type of material we'll post.
This is so good. But I love the statement that you say, no one's ever gotten their money back from 419 scammers.
Well, I should say that I don't know of any individuals or maybe even companies who've gotten their money back through the Nigerian court system. What I have heard of is people who have been able to get the help of their own banks to recover money from the scammers' banks, because scammers have to bank somewhere. And I have heard of some people who have sent money to the scammers to a particular bank, and then basically through professional courtesy between the fraud examiners, the two banks, the money's been returned. Also, there have been a couple of really spectacular cases in Nigeria. The Nigerian government does go after scammers, but they tend to go after the people at the top. And in a way that's just getting off the ground. They have a great history of institutional corruption to overcome, and they do have an agency called the Economic and Financial Crimes Commission. And the head of that commission has been going after all kinds of fraud, not just 419. And it remains to be seen how much success he'll have. The new president of Nigeria has just sent him on something called a study leave, and I have no idea what that means, but it sounds like he's being sidelined.
Well, and those things occur, and it's fascinating how there is this particular locale, although it's all over the world. I mean, you're going to have scammers all over the world.
Oh, yeah.
But with our technology today, it is amazing how stuff will be sent out, and they'll send it out under different titles even, just so you get it. The same with pornography and all kinds of things. And you get so, in a way, you're able to identify certain stuff. So you'll just go along and go bleep, 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 bleep. Mm-hmm. But with the electronic media today, they have access to so much material. And my goodness, you get on one person's list, and it's like everybody and their relatives gets a hold of it, too.
Yeah, so I think when it comes to this sort of scam, I think the best spam filter is unfortunately your brain. You just have to learn to tease out the common elements in all of these letters, and they're really all the same scam using different formats, which is what the scammers call their different themes. They're their sob stories.
Right.
And Western Union, as you said, is one dead giveaway, which is unfortunate because it's a way that people of modest means transfer money back home all around the world. But, well, here are the classic themes. And I bet you've received all of these. Okay, here's one. I'm a government official. There's a contract. The work's been done. There's money left over. Let's you and me steal it. Okay, that's a classic theme. The next one is I'm a banker. One of my depositors died. He had no heirs. Let's steal the money. I'm a dictator's widow. My husband died. Help me get his last $10 million out of the country. So it's pretty much all the same thing. And when you look at as many of them as I do, you start to just recognize it within the first sentence.
Well, your breakdown is you had a sampling of 385 letters, and you say plane crashes was 182, 47%, car crash 126, 33%, unspecified 40, and that was 10%, earthquake, tsunami, or hurricane was 2%. You had 9 of those. Illness or natural death, 9, 2%. Explosion, bomb blast, oil blast, 2%. There was even something about September 11, an assassination, nautical war in Iraq, war in Liberia, kidnapping, cosmetic surgery. And one of your comments...
That last one is kind of a nasty crack because the former wife of the president died when she went abroad for plastic surgery. So I was being semi-sarcastic in the statistics, but what it points out is that this kind of thing doubles as a form of political satire. I would think that the average Nigerian person feels really screwed by his government. Their former president, General Abacha, whose name pops up in a lot of these letters, is thought to have stolen billions of dollars, which the Nigerian government would really like to have back. And it's not an accident that these people pretend to be former presidents, the head of their National Reserve Bank, generals, and so on, because they regard them all as corrupt, and they want theirs.
It's interesting how that environment contributes to a patterning. And I've seen it in different levels and experiences of life, that if the general demeanor of those people who are in charge is corrupt, then those that are in the lesser positioning say, well, I'm not going to let this person take advantage of me. I'm going to make sure that I get my 50 cents before they get their dollar.
Well, you've made a very important point. I think there's a powerful lesson in all of this for other countries. And obviously we have corruption here too, but I feel very lucky that in this society, people, powerful people can and have been prosecuted and gone to jail for corruption. I think when there is no hope of recourse, then it's really corrosive to civic feeling.
Oh, very much so. And I think I've seen that in so many different countries, so many different environments. And then it makes it very difficult to teach the younger generation a standard of ethics if the adults aren't following any.
Absolutely.
So how are you going to be able to do that by example? I really like the information you give about identity theft via email and via the internet. Could you cover that? Because in our world today, it is happening so frequently. I just reviewed some material about a woman who actually caught the other female that had used her identity, and she happened to stay in her neighborhood. It was unbelievable that she actually caught this gal. And
so she did all the detective work herself.
She did most of the detective work. The police, their hands were tied. They said, we just don't have the manpower, but honestly, by law, we can't do certain things. So she did. And when she was in the process, then she called, and they had somebody, you know, work with her. And they were able to arrest a woman who had done this before. But this poor woman is still dealing with all kinds of fraudulent stuff, and she's, my goodness, it's taken her 2 years to finally get to a point where she's having some sort of normalcy, but she's fighting the system that is just horrifically complex. Let's know what we need to be alert to regarding identity theft via email and the internet.
Well, that's a whole other book, and there's a much larger crowd of people doing it. I would say, with respect to these email scam letters,
mm-hmm.
there is an element of potential identity theft in them, because they ask you at some point, if they've suckered you in, they ask you to send a scanned driver's license or scanned passport or information about your bank account, or scans of your checks or something like this. And don't do it, dear listeners, because your material will wind up being used as collateral in other scams or being used for identity theft. And these guys, some of them use... this 419 stuff is only part of their portfolio of crime. There are a number of them living in other countries, including the UK and the US, working in banks and using the information that they turn up as bank employees for fraud.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's frightening.
Mm-hmm.
They alter checks and postal money orders. And if you run a company, you want to be careful with your checks, because these guys will alter them. It's protecting yourself from identity theft is unfortunately kind of a round-the-clock activity. You have to, I mean, I'm sure you know a lot of this already. You have to check your credit standing and check your bank balance and not share your social security number and so on. Sometimes this is quite hard. I walked away from certain transactions because I was being asked for too much personal information.
Mm-hmm.
We have to become more militant about that. It's unfortunate that so many databases rely on our social security numbers as a means of indexing. It's not so much evil intent, it's just convenience.
Yes, and I don't know, because it's so entrenched, I don't know that that would change. People have been complaining about it from the time I can remember, even as a little girl, saying we should never use our social security number for anything. And yet it has become a form of identification. Medical, everything is there. I mean, that is mandatory. If you're not willing to do that, then they won't even talk to you.
School records.
Yes,
yeah.
It's all there.
But I would say basically, if in the context of the so-called Nigerian scam, do not send real personally identifiable information.
Mm-hmm. Yes. I know my husband has had an attitude. We've received calls many times at the office, and he'll say, if you want information from me, then you have to send something that I can see that's in writing, and or give me your phone number where I will call back. But even if you call back on a phone number, you could end up in a situation that could still be a scam.
That reminds me of something else. Again, to focus on the bank fraud thing and the means of recourse, if you find yourself, if any of your listeners find themselves in the situation of having been defrauded at the bank, say, cashed a check which turned out to be a bogus check, this is not always something that will be caught immediately at the local branch. They may not have expertise in that, but maybe weeks later at the central clearinghouse, they'll decide that the check you've been sent is bogus. And you may be done for the check. Now, this is not legal advice, but I have heard from bank fraud examiners that one thing you can do is to go to your bank and ask to fill out a fraud affidavit. And this may help you be protected from financial harm, from being held responsible for the bogus check.
And
never cash the check these guys send you. In fact, it's even worse if the check turns out to be so-called real, because it means that they've stolen a check from a company or altered the amount on the check or altered the payee. And then you may be liable for criminal charges. And I know of several cases in Florida and California where this has happened. In Florida in particular, there was this teenager who was offered what seemed like such a wonderful job cashing checks for this overseas company that somehow had problems cashing their checks. And all she had to do is she could keep back a little bit as a commission and send the bulk of the amount to the company. And when she went to cash the check, she was arrested. And fortunately, she got off because she had a good lawyer. But it's very dangerous to cash these checks.
Well, and I think if you have a good rapport with your bank, it's always a good policy to go in and say, I have received XYZ. Can you validate any of this before we even go through the process of checking it? Is there something I need to be aware of? And I think if you've got a good rapport with a bank, often they will work with you on this, because they're really, the fraud departments are anxious to be able to trace these people and to find out what they are. In fact, you mentioned one gang that was busted by the Spanish police. There were 300 people.
Oh, yeah.
In it, and they were bringing in $120 million a year.
Which I think... I'm glad you mentioned, because it shows that these guys are not stupid. People like to laugh at them because the letters are written in kind of clunky English. But somebody's making a lot of money.
Yep, you say here they make payments to apprentices, computers, maintaining multiple identities. There's postage or the services of forgers, bribes for bank and government employees to obtain official documents. And, of course, they've got to keep up their lifestyle. And they're doing very, very well, so this, you know, our era is so intense. And when you think that we've only been in this technological environment for really a very short period of time, there are so many victims, and we hear about them, but so many of us think, well, it can't happen to us, but it can. And there is a title for victims. They're called mugus, which means fool. And then you've got a picture in your book about trunk boxes, and they're full of what you call wash money.
Oh, yeah.
What's that?
That is stacks of what looks like cash. There might actually be a few genuine bills on top. And they are defaced with a mixture of sometimes Vaseline and ink, which can be washed off. And you're given some weird story about how it's so that the company where the cash is being stored doesn't recognize that it's money, or so that it can't be negotiated. And it turns out that there's some really expensive chemical needed to clean this money. And you have to front the money to buy the chemical. And they usually have a little bit of chemical on hand. This is something they do if you actually go as far as going to visit them. And I know people who've done it and been taken this way in Amsterdam and Singapore. And they'll show you a little bit of chemical. They'll show you a few of the bills. They'll wash the bills. Lo and behold, nice, clean bills. But you need to buy more chemical. And that's the scam, and that's why it's called wash, wash. And this goes way back.
Mm. It's amazing. Now, you say the scammers are not really getting victims who are greedy people in general. They're not that way. But they're naive.
Oh, you mean the victims?
Yes, the victims.
Well, different people fall for different approaches. I heard from one guy in Australia who said that he fell victim strictly through greed. That he figured out pretty quickly that he was being invited to embezzle. He hadn't figured out that he was being asked to embezzle imaginary money. And he blamed nobody but himself at the end. But I also know people who've been taken by really pathetic stories, like the paralegal working in North Carolina who thought she was saving some kid in West Africa from death at the hands of his creditors. The English guy who thought he was saving a West African girl from an arranged marriage to cool people. I think these scammers have a whole library of approaches, and they're psychologically pretty savvy.
Mm-hmm.
And they have ways of bullying people who are beginning to have doubts. I mean, I don't mean physically bullying, although it has sometimes come to that. They do kidnap people sometimes in Nigeria. They play on their hopes and their fears, and they have scams aimed at other Nigerians. They'll call them up overseas and say, your relative is really sick in hospital and can only have an operation if you wire money. A lot of really ambitious Nigerians want to go overseas, especially if they're in the professions,
mm-hmm.
engineers, doctors. And there's a green card lottery scam aimed at them and a phony job placement offer. We can get you a great job in the oil industry, but there's a fee you have to pay to have us present your resume, this kind of thing.
Well, you have got all kinds of information in your book. You've got websites that people can go to. You've got letters in your book about people who love to take on the scammers. I liked, who is it? It was a count. He called himself Count something or other. I don't remember what.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, and it was a gotcha, and they realized they had been scammed. So there's this that goes on sometimes, and people know what they're doing, and they will just see how far it will go, and then all of a sudden it crashes. However, this is something that for most of us, we need to realize we don't want to give out credit card numbers, we don't want to give out any information via email that is going to empower these people. Now, Eve, you have your own website. Would you give that out again?
Certainly. It's called Scamorama, www.scamorama.com. That's Scamorama.
And you can go to her website.
I'm sorry?
I'm saying they can go to your website.
Yes, which is updated periodically. I've just added material in the last few days. Sometimes I add scam baits, and sometimes I add interesting links to other websites.
Mm-hmm.
For people who want to do scam baiting, I would say for most people it's probably not a good idea,
mm-hmm.
Especially if you become emotionally invested in it or think you're going to change somebody, or you're absolutely not going to. But if you want to, and you're going to be careful about it, there are some pointers on the website and some links to other websites which are more collaborative, where you can find like-minded people.
Mm-hmm. Well, the law enforcement agencies, not just in this country, but all around the world, I'm sure, are frustrated every single day because this is a crime that is growing by leaps and bounds on so many different levels. And as consumers, we really need to be informed. And so, Eve, I think you've done us all a service. Your book, Scamorama, Turning the Tables on Email Scammers. If you are someone that you've received this material and maybe something has appealed to you emotionally or mentally, go, wow, this is something special, you need to read Eve's book and go to her website, scamorama.com, scamorama.com. It will open up your eyes in ways you would never have dreamed. Eve, thank you so much for being my guest today.
Thank you, and thanks for spreading the word about the scam.
Oh, that I am delighted to do. Thank you, and you have a wonderful day.
You too. Thank you very much.
This is Donna Sebo. We're going to be taking a break. Don't go away. We're going to be back in just a moment.
Okay, thanks, guys.
Enter the magical world of God's kiss.
He sees a large open area of valley ground covered with a thick green grass. In the open space are many other children and animals. All kinds of animals. And all of the animals are talking. He can understand every word they are saying.
God's Kiss is a beautifully illustrated children's book about a young boy's journey into a valley with children and animals from all over the world. They are gathering together to experience the wonder of love and beauty that will affect their lives forever. A talking book audio narrated by the author Donna Sebo accompanies this wonderful storybook, creating a special magic all of its own. This book package makes a wonderful gift for those special children in your life, ages 3 to 10. God's Kiss book and talking book audio are only $19.95 plus shipping and handling. And the author Donna Sebo will autograph and personalize your book if you request it. Call 800-872-8852. You can also order through Donna Sebo's website, www.delphiinternational.com.
Donna Sebo publishes a popular, inspirational, and insightful newsletter filled with information about her upcoming guests, her travel schedule, seminar presentations, and upbeat articles to lighten up your life. You can subscribe to this free monthly newsletter by emailing her at donna@delphiinternational.com. That's donna@delphiinternational.com. You can also go to her website, www.delphiinternational.com, and review past publications. Keep in touch with Donna through this monthly publication. Again, her email address is donna@delphiinternational.com, and her website is www.delphiinternational.com.
Hi, this is Donna. Telephone lines are now open. 877-876-5227 is one number, toll-free in the U.S., 877-876-5227. Canadians, 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. Also, 530-876-3222. If you're a first-time listener, welcome. We're delighted to have you as part of our listening family. And all you need to do is call in and give me your first name or your initial. I'll give you my intuitive perceptions. And then after that, you can ask me a question about anything that you like. Don't forget, February 8th through the 11th, we are going to have an absolutely marvelous event in Los Angeles at the LAX Hilton. It's the 6th annual Conscious Life Expo Conference and Film Festival. Yesterday you heard Danyon Brinkley and Brian McClure. They're going to be there. I'm going to be speaking. And there is so much that's going on. So many cutting-edge speakers. There's going to be a spiritual comedy night, conscious business symposium, and they're going to have yoga classes daily and much, much more. So if you are in that area or if you know of someone who is, tell them about this wonderful event. You can call them directly for more information, which is 800-367-5777. That's 800-367-5777. Or you can go to ConsciousLifeExpo.com, ConsciousLifeExpo.com, and you'll get all of the information. And I will be giving out my booth that I will be in while I'm there. We're also going to be doing a live broadcast on Friday the 8th. With some of the people that will be appearing there, will be right on site. And also, then I will be speaking, I believe it's going to be on Saturday. So we'll have more information about that for you. Don't forget, you can call in and chat with me during this next half hour, 877-876-5227 or 888-815-9756, also 530-876-3222. Amy Nargisso, young, intelligent, I say young, middle age, I guess, 47, she was having problems with her memory. Now, she was a skating instructor, a very intelligent person, but she said she noticed it was getting worse. Now, she had three children, and she said she could not figure out what was wrong with her thinking. And she said she'd been a skating instructor for a number of years. They had just started with little things like lost keys, missed appointments. She forgot phone messages. But it was happening more and more often. Now, as time went on, she found she was going to be taking care of her dad, who was 85. And one day her dad turned around to her and said, "Amy, did you forget my medicine?" And she said, "Uh-oh, something's very, very wrong." Well, she decided she was going to go in and have a checkup because she was forgetting too many things. This was happening too frequently. She thought that there was too much stress in her life, and she was not getting very much sleep, so she just thought maybe this has something to do with it. Her doctor sort of agreed, but after visiting with the doctor, she said, "You know, I can't really buy into that." So she went back to her doctor, and she asked him a very direct question. "Could I have early Alzheimer's?" Now, that is something, when you think about it, when you're in your 40s, you normally expect someone is going to have that when they're 70s, 80s, or 90s. And he said, "No, I don't think you have Alzheimer's." But he was a little bit concerned, and as a good physician, he paid attention to what she said, and he referred her to an internist who specialized in cognitive disorders. She was given a very thorough exam, and the doctor who was tending her looked at her and said, "What's wrong with you is that you have mercury poisoning." That's right, mercury poisoning. He said it's very rare, but somehow from old fillings that had been replaced months earlier, she had been exposed to the toxic metal. And consequently, it was interfering with the brain chemistry necessary to process and store information. Now, probably what had happened is that the dentist that maybe had removed the old fillings did not put in the protective covering that most dentists now today use. And I went through the experience of having that done. And it keeps any mercury from accidentally going down your throat into your body. Now, there's a solution to this, and the solution was chelation therapy, and this is an involvement of daily doses of chemical compounds and proteins that bind with the mercury, in her case, or any toxic metal in the bloodstream, so it can be released from the body through the urine. Now, the doctor said this was a treatment that could have some side effects. It could affect her kidneys, but there weren't any alternatives that he was aware of other than to this treatment, and so she decided she was going to do this. In 1 month after starting her chelation treatment, her mercury levels were way down, and she found she wasn't searching to find her keys anymore or staring into her cupboard trying to figure out what she was looking for. Now, her mercury levels and her memory are back on par. She said, "I'm so grateful I found out about this." Now, I wanted to give you a little information about mercury poisoning because it is something that is real. Just touching mercury usually won't cause any problems. And if you can remember that mercury is a liquid, and it's a fascinating thing just to touch and watch, and it wiggles all over the place. It's just an absolutely amazing material. But if you have low-level, long-term exposure, it can cause various symptoms, and this is what they are. One, you'll end up with a metallic taste in your mouth. You can have difficulty breathing. You can have a persistent bad cough. You can have swollen, bleeding gums. You can have generalized numbness or pain. You can end up with tremors, also memory problems. Now, if you want to reduce your mercury risk, they say go easy on fish. And with the pollution in waters throughout the world, this is something to be taken seriously. There are many areas of the world that the fish, any sea life, is exposed to very toxic levels of chemicals. There's a lot of countries that do not have any environmental standards, and we get fish and things from, again, all over the world. And if you don't know where it's coming from, you need to ask questions. Swordfish and king mackerel contain the higher levels of mercury than most fish. Better choices are salmon and canned light tuna. and also have your fillings checked. The old silver fillings contain mercury that might, and they say might, be absorbed into the bloodstream if they crack. Also, dentists, again, as I mentioned a moment ago, have an apparatus that they will put in the mouth that'll keep the old fillings, anything that they bring out of the old fillings, from escaping into your mouth. And it was quite an experience for me when I went, I changed the dentist just about a year ago, and I was so surprised at how they no longer had you wash your mouth out, because they have this piece of material they'll put between your teeth and your throat so that you do not swallow anything. And it was just a whole new world for me that I had never seen before, and it was quite interesting. Throw away any mercury thermometers. Those with red or blue fluid don't contain mercury. Dump old paint. Cans purchased before 1991 may contain mercury. And handle fluorescent bulbs very carefully. They contain tiny amounts of mercury that could escape if a bulb breaks. So those are just some tips that you may want to follow. Also, if you're interested in trying to find a physician like Amy did, you can go to a website called wellness.com, and there is a section that says find experts. So you can find out about people that might have expertise in being able to check blood levels. I want to share a quick story with you. A friend of mine was having a problem with thinking and with balance, and she had gone to more than one physician, and most of the time they said, well, you're in your 70s, you're just supposed to have this happening to you. You're getting older, this is just the way it is. And she just was so upset because nobody would listen to what she was trying to tell them. And finally, she met up with this young female doctor, and she told her what was happening to her and that she was having a problem with her balance. Well, this young doctor, who was very interested in nutrition and had some training on it, did some research on her own and took some blood tests and said, you are so low in the vitamin B's, I'm going to recommend that you get a vitamin B12 supplementation, and I think some of the other B's are included in it. The very high dosage of this. My friend ends up taking this once a week, and the difference in her is like night and day. She said, I don't feel the fogginess in my head. I am able to think. My brain is working. And she used to say to me, my brain isn't working very well. I don't know what's wrong. And nutrition is so important. And with technology today, they are able to do blood tests to see if you have any nutritional deficiencies. One of the things that we need to remember as consumers is that we have the right to ask for specific kinds of tests. And the blood tests, whatever the processes are, talk to your physician. They're not mind readers. And ask these questions. And sometimes you may have to do certain tests in a certain way. For example, if you're trying to find out if you've got a lot of lead in your system, or like Amy did with the mercury, there are specifically designed tests that have to be done in a certain way that will enable them to get an accurate readout. And when you do this, it can educate you and inform you, and it may explain some things that are going wacky in the system. Bill Moyers, who is known very, very well by millions and millions of people, went through a program regarding wellness and decided he was going to be tested for toxic materials. There were traces of 82 substances, I believe, 75 to 82 substances in his body. And he asked, where did it come from? They said, we have no clue. So as a consumer, as an individual, don't hesitate to ask questions. It makes a difference, and your well-being and your wellness will be better for it. This is Donna Sebo. We're taking a break. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat, 877-876-5227. Or 888-815-9756, also 530-876-3222. We're going to be right back.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature, however, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Donna Sebo publishes a inspirational and insightful newsletter filled with information about her upcoming guests, her travel schedule, seminar presentations, and upbeat articles to lighten up your life. You can subscribe to this free monthly newsletter by emailing her at Donna@DelphiInternational.com. That's Donna@DelphiInternational.com. You can also go to her website, www.DelphiInternational.com, and review past publications. Keep in touch with Donna through this monthly publication. Again, her email address is Donna@DelphiInternational.com, and her website is www.DelphiInternational.com.
Hi, this is Donna Sebo, and I want to let you know who's going to be coming on the show. By the way, if you want to call in and chat with me, this is the time to do it, 877-876-5227 or 888-815-9756 and also 530-876-3222. Tomorrow, my guest is going to be Gary Malkin. We're going to be talking about a couple of his productions. One is Graceful Passages, which I dearly love. I think it's a masterpiece. And we'll be playing some of the excerpts on the air. Also, we're going to be talking about another production he did, which was a meditation that is really quite interesting. Then next week, we've got some wonderful people. We've got Beyond the Secret. Lisa Love is going to be my guest. This is a thought-provoking book that takes you to another level. If you are familiar with the wonderful production of The Secret, it's all about the law of attraction. So we're going to be exploring another aspect of that. Then Tuesday's going to be an open mic day. Yes, I've decided I'm going to have an open mic day. We'll be talking about all kinds of things, and in that hour, the phone line will be open for the entire hour. The next guest we're going to have is the Living Energy Universe Specialist, Gary Schwartz. He's a wonderful man. We've got wonderful stuff to talk about. Then George Beam. We are going to be talking about the movie, The Golden Compass. George is a historical researcher. He's been a guest on my show regarding other points of movie history and what goes in behind the scenes, goes on behind the scenes, and we're going to be talking about The Golden Compass, which, by the way, I've seen, and it is an awesome, awesome movie. I recommend it. Then we are going to be talking about remote viewing secrets. Joe McMoneagle is going to be my guest. And I'm so excited. Joe has got so much information. Also, this month, we're going to be talking with Julie Lesser-Kirk about Parentpreneur. Those of you that are wanting to maybe be in business for yourself, but you got a family, you say, how can I do this? How can I make my world work? Well, we'll find out how that can happen for you. Then we're going to be talking about the Big Book of Near-Death Experiences. PMH Atwater is going to be my guest, and this book is just absolutely awesome. And then The Genie in Your Genes. We're going to be talking about health information that has been discovered that is going to really make you aware we're in a whole new world when it comes to medical understanding and working with wellness. So those wonderful, wonderful people are going to be coming up on the shows. And remember, you can always go in to the VBS.com website, find out the listings of the guests, And if you've missed any shows, just know, go in and check out the archives, and you can find out about those programs that you've missed and listen to them at your leisure. That's what the archives are for. Also, you can go into my website if you like, DelphiInternational.com, and you can check my listing of the guests that are upcoming and also the schedule and the plans for activities that will be coming up. I'm going to be going to Alaska in March. I've got two trips to California this January, and there's just so many other things that are evolving, so I am really excited about all of it. And all you have to do is go to my website. That's all you have to do, and you can find out just about anything that you want to know. What would you do if you were in a time of your life where your life was falling apart and your birthday was coming up? How would you handle it? Would you decide you wanted to be depressed? What would you consider doing? Well, Jenny Hinnington was a woman that she was in her 30s. Her personal life had gone into the toilet. She didn't exactly feel happy about it. She was going through a divorce. She had all kinds of adjustments and changes that she had to do, as anyone does when they go into that kind of a patterning. So after the divorce, she's in a new place. She's having all the schedule adjustments, the adjustments with her kids, her pets, and all the things that needed to be adjusted for. And she had some friends that were just absolutely wonderfully supportive, and they knew her birthday was coming up, and they said, "What are you going to do?" And she had a very, very dear friend, Carrie. And Carrie said, "You know what? Your birthday is coming up. We've got to do something really super spectacular, something really, really big." Well, Jenny wasn't too excited about that. She said, "That's silly. Why should this be any different than any other birthday?" Well, the more she thought about Carrie's suggestion, the more she wondered. My whole life has changed. I am now a single woman. Everything in my life is 180 degrees different from what it was. What should I do on my birthday? Well, as it turned out, having tossed the thought out to the universe, there were some people that she got together with one evening after work, and there was someone that had joined their group. This was a friend of a friend, and he was talking about his passion. It was skydiving. He said, "Wow, when you're doing the skydiving, it just makes you so high, you feel like you can do anything." She said, "Hey, that's it. I'll go skydiving." Well, when she went back to her friend, Carrie, and Carrie's the one that proposed the question, "You got to do something really, really, really big." Carrie looked at her like she was nuts. That wouldn't surprise me at all. She said, "You don't like tall buildings. You just don't like heights." She said, "You know what? You're absolutely right, Carrie." And Carrie said to her, she said, "Now, if you want to do this, Jenny, I'll do it with you." Well, on Saturday morning, which was the day of her birthday, Jenny and Carrie drove out to the skydiving center. They were with an instructor. They had gone through the training. And they got up to 10,000 feet, and they had to fly out of that plane. And by golly, she did it. Told her exactly what to do. And he said, "One thing you need to do is keep your eyes open." She said, "It was an awesome experience." And her trainer was close by in the skydiving process, and it changed her life dramatically. She said, "It taught me to be bold and brave and not to let fear stop me from doing anything, including building a fun, fulfilling new life on my own." Well, this is Donna Sebo. I know we're out of time, and I'm so delighted we've been able to share this hour together. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. Keep your eyes open. What wonderful opportunities might you be able to step up to the bar and accept? Only you're going to know, because you're the only one that can do it. This is Donna Sebo. Have a fabulous, fabulous day, and we'll be with you same time, same place, right here on BBSRadio.com tomorrow. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.